This presentation of Meridel LeSueur and Barbara Tilson is a KBSB Radio 89.7 presentation.
I wanted to start out today with a song that I wrote. It's about three women who lived and organized in the Midwest. I call it Freedom's Roots.
Like a tree, her roots went deep, holding, seeking, nourishing. Like the spreading leaves, she embraced the sky, touching freedom. Eunice Caldwell fought a loyalty oath to get a job washing dishes in the shrouded point and finger years of McCarthy's whims and wishes. Black woman of fire and strength, with ancient African eyes, working all around this town, restaurants to organize. Under lock and key, they hounded her to play the Red Scare game. She spent 2 years in prison, but never gave them one name. Oh, like a tree, her roots went deep, holding, seeking, nourishing. Like the spreading leaves, she embraced the sky, touching freedom. Tina Trudell worked to open up the waters of Wild Horse Dam, filled with a promise to irrigate her people's treaty land. She fought for the rights of her sisters, her brothers throughout the years. She stood with her people at Alcatraz and walked new trails of tears. But an arson match set her home aflame, this keeper of the nation. She died as she lived, defending the lives of all new generations. Oh, like a tree, her roots went deep, holding, seeking, nourishing. Like the spreading leaves, she embraced the sky, touching freedom. They told her northern lumber camps were no place for a woman. But Irene Paul went to organize a paper for the Union. She marched in Hiroshima's lingering shadows of the bomb. On Mississippi roads her voice joined in freedom songs. A writer of the people, her blazing poetry cried an end to war, defended peace for all humanity. Oh, like a tree, her roots went deep, holding, seeking, nourishing. Like the spreading leaves, she embraced the sky, touching freedom. Oh, like a tree, let our roots go deep, holding, seeking, nourishing. Like the spreading leaves, let's embrace the sky, touching freedom.
This is a rather unusual occasion, not to me and to Barb, but we're sort of minstrels traveling together like matriarchs, I think. Maybe we should just go from village to village. Probably we'll do that eventually if they've been to take the publishing out of our hands and entertainment out of our hands. Barb is a real great woman minstrel who sings of women and sings of history. And she's married to my, yes, married, really. I was going to say the dear companion of my grandson. And we are traveling with her daughter, Molly, who is 3 months old, and my great-granddaughter. Now, I don't think we've had any minstrels like that traveling the prairies, but for quite a while. But it's really wonderful. Molly will probably perform from up there later when she has her own singing to do. I'd like to dedicate this to our grandmothers. In our history, I say that we dismember history. That we Hitler said he didn't want any history taught more than 3 years prior to his coming to power. And in our society, in some way, memory is not negotiable. It's more and more important, maybe in some instances, that you don't remember. Anyway, it's dismembered in our schools and in our teaching. So I think that today in our culture, we have a whole society now of young people who wants to remember the dismembered, perhaps. And I think it's a very important, I'd like to also pay tribute to the historians and artists and writers in the universities, in the academic world, like Professor Carr, Mary Shaw, and many others of that period who tried to keep history and the humanities, and actually began the American studies and the humanities in an effort to overcome the silence and reaction of our history and of our culture. And it's been very important. They've been very important. I think you should all make Professor Carr write his autobiography now of his long struggle with this dismembering and remembering. So I'd like to dedicate this to our grandmothers, our red, black, brown, and white grandmothers. I think I began to write when I was about 10 years old, when I discovered that our grandmothers had no voice, that our grandmothers had no culture, recorded culture. Even now, we're just beginning. Oh, we have traveling with us, too, a wonderful woman editor who has just produced a book of women's stories, Gala, of women telling their own stories, not professional writers, but women who want now to speak. And women now want to speak out. I went around in 55 with a tape recorder to tape history, and I couldn't get women to speak at all. Women wouldn't talk. I mean, you know, they were afraid. They were silenced. I was talking to a farm woman for years to tell about her life on the farm and the brutality even of her husband. She would never do it. The other day she called me up and said, "Come quickly, I'm ready to talk." And I really ran out there. So I think that one of the great things of our time now are the speaking out of the oppressed people, of the Indians, of the black people, of the Mexican people, of the white people. I call them the voice of the oppressed now is beginning to speak. And it's one of the great things of our time. I say that this is the greatest time that I've ever lived, and I was born in the beginning of the century. And this is why, because the mute and the oppressed and the silent now have to speak. It's no miracle. It's just the predatory conquistador world has pressed them down too far, and they are now speaking. And this global, I call it the global communication, which never existed in my time. The word global didn't exist. I mean, the word global has now become a word which we all say. So I'd like to dedicate this afternoon to all our grandmothers. Hush, my little grandmother. I'm a woman come to speak for you. I'm a woman speaking for us all from the tongue of dust and fire, from the bowl of bitter smoke. This is a song for strength and power. Water is running. Water is pouring. The drouthy blooms of the earth. It is coming out, pouring in bloom of day. Let us all go down there on the four paths of the eagles. Let us all of many colors go there and bathe in the water. The water is coming on the four paths of the eagles. Let us all go down where the waters come, calling us in rivers of wind and blood. We are floods. We are the brave rosy blossom, forgetting the thorns and the dry. We are glad of a strong thrust grandmother. Hush, hush, my little root, my empty pod. Hush, hush, my little grandmother. I'm a woman come to speak in tongues of dust and fire, woman bold and filled with pollen. When I began to write, it was very unpopular. Sometimes women had to take other names. My grandmother said to me when I began to write, when I was about 12, I spent all my life concealing what happened to me. Now you're going to tell it. And this turned out to be somewhat true. So, and it's still very difficult. I'm just realizing that all my life I wrote for male editors. Now this might not seem much to you, but it's very hurting. It's very repressive. I still sometimes am writing, and I think there's some male editor over my shoulder saying, "You can't write that." It even controlled the subject matter of your writing. You don't realize how much the women had to. But look at the writings of some of the great male writers, for example. Faulkner writes a beautiful story about how an old man saves his sense of self-respect by killing an old bear. Well, that would hardly occur to me as a subject for writing, or as a subject that I knew anything about. And if you look at some of the Saul Bellow and nearly all of our so-called great writers, the subject matter is not my subject matter. In about 1927, I wrote a story about the birth of a child. Now that's just entering our culture. Well, all the people in the world are born. You know, it's really a universal subject. I sent it to an editor of Scribner's who had published several of my things, and he said, "Well, you write so lyrically and so beautifully," which I considered an insult. It was like saying, "You're such a pretty girl," you know, something like that. But he said, "You write about such strange subjects, birth." He said, "We can't publish it in Scribner's, a story about birth." And Hemingway was a great writer then, so you should write more like Hemingway. Well, I wrote back and said, I just can't write like Hemingway. My experiences are not the experiences of Hemingway. I mean, fighting, fishing, and falling in love in bags, in sleeping bags in Spain is not in my experience. And that's true. I just want to consider what a difficult time it was for women to begin to write about women. I call myself Mrs. Lazarus because I was buried and I was dug up by the women's movement and given life again. This is really true. So I'm going to read another one about women's. I think our subject matter of women is different than Gary Snyder or Hemingway or those... Well, I think they're patriarchal male writers, yet, although they pretend to have... Robert Bly says he's searching for the woman in himself. God help her if he finds her. This is called "Behold Me, Touch Me." "Behold me crying to you, brothers. Hear my people crying on the trail of tears. Return the buried children to me. Return the mutilated hands, the cut-off ears. Return the tiny embryos, the prairie dog, drought women, the silent cricket, the poison bird. Behold me, I am the daily bread, I am the daily breast. The eastern dawn striped egg cracks and breaks. Behold us crying to you, brothers. I come toward you shouting to call you to the land of meeting, of stalwart people and a holy tree of liberty flourishing for all birds and for all children. Contain me, invite me, behold me. I come toward you shouting, do not let them kill me before you speak to me. Touch me, behold me." None of it is true about our enemies. We have none. Women never birth enemy faces. An enemy face is never born. No walls, barriers, closed wombs. The barren and the breathless summer sings to the face of lovers. Birth is with others and given. This is to my women grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. I have to tell you just a piece of remarkable history that I just had my 23rd great-grandchild. Now that's a tribe and maybe a nation. But I think it's an affirmation that's very important. Mr. Rockefeller wouldn't like it, who financed the whole thing about not having children. Well, they don't need any more children. They don't need any more people. They want to do away with them. So I think that the celebration of the new world, of the global world, includes this whole feeling of identity and with responsibility of all children of the world. Oh, my daughters, my bowl is full of sweet grass. I approach in my best buckskin. I travel the path of the people. Behold me. The white buffalo woman brings the sacred pipe of vision. Standing on the hill, behold me, coming, coming, coming over the prairie breast. I come, sacred, covered by a cloud of flowers. Behold what you see, my grandchildren. Behold this and always love it. She moves. She moves and all moves to her. In the bowl, the basket, the earth bowl, she is adorned in the middle country. She appears in the crops of Kansas, in Oklahoma brothels, in erupting volcanoes, at the peyote ceremony of birds, in the hell holes and the heavenly meadows. She appears. From far away, she is coming, coming. From all the roads, she is coming. We are all gathering. We are coming in the global world. The ancients are coming with the children. From far away, they are coming, incessantly coming. Send out a crier, she says. I want to talk to the people. Listen, listen. While you are walking, all is upon the earth and all is sacred. I'm trying to write a saga of corn. This corn belongs to the Americas. It was developed by our Indian grandmothers, perhaps, in South America and Middle America and North America. And it's the only kind of harvest that has to be harvested by people. It cannot exist alone. It cannot take its kernel off its cob. And it was developed from a grass by the growing nations, the Peruvian, the Aztecs, the Mayan, developed corn, which probably has produced more wealth than any jewels or gold in the whole world. And it created the possibility of having cities for the first time. I think that it came from the gathering women who discovered that you could plant corn, that you could develop corn, who understood how to develop from a little grass this stable cob that we have now. Well, I want to write a kind of a saga of connecting. My dream is that we're on the verge of having three great continents of the Western world. There will be a great society like it was around the Mediterranean, like the Greek society. And if these poor, white, retarded fathers in Washington don't ruin the dream, we're on the verge of it. You'll have North America, Middle America, and South America. In South America, the basic population is Indian. Think what a great culture and society we'd have around the Caribbean, and we're going to have it. My great-grandchildren will see that, I'm sure. So I'm going to just read parts of this about the corn, the origins of corn. This also I'd like to see made into like a chorale. Maybe my great-grandchildren will be like a Beethoven, who will take this kind of song and make it into the symphony of humanity. Hosanna! The corn reached total zenith and crested an entire August. The space of summer arched earth to autumnal fruit. Out of cold and ancient sod, the split of protein, the primal thunder. In the Mayan face of the tiny kernel, look out the deeps of time, space, and genes. In the golden pollen, more ancient and fixed than the pyramids, is a scream of fleeing Indians, germinal mirror of endurance, reflections of mothers of different yield. The ancient women gatherers, free wanderers, loved the tiny grass, tendered, hand-pollinated it, created the great cob of nutrition, which cannot free itself from cob without the hand of human. American corn did not come from Europe or Asia. It is thought and flesh of the Americas. Transmutation of communal love, Indian solidarity, bountiful yields, rich protein, small and portable, it could be carried by nation-building peoples, planted, grown, milled on new land in a hole in the forest. Migrant up the Mississippi, builder of new cities where wanderers could stop and build because they had corn. Protein angels of light in the Indian air, guarded by Aztec tigers. Granaries out of graves sprang centuries out of vanishment, ran with slaves from the conquerors. Mayan strength piled as gold in our village streets, held from usurer and marauder, apex and home of contradictions. The great Indios threw themselves forward in sacrificial green, emerged in small time to sugar and nitrogen. Germinal time brought to immense protein, the magic of chlorophyll, transformation of the sun. Given to us from brown hands, grown in democratic weather, from the place of massacre, continental coffin made by the conquistadors hid the corn for future summer. Thrown like a seed ball from people to people in 25,000 years of a mothering congregation of protein, of corn nuptials, cohesions, solidarity in the face of dangers and plunderers, thieves, predators, speculators, dice throwers, disease, we lay underground with corn. Hoarding the endosperm, preserving inside the shack ancestral bridal arraignment, communal goodness and old maps of Indian ancestors marking the pollen road, the road of genetic fulfillment and endurance, comrades of surge, germinal explosions and millions of seeds. My grandmothers were red Indian cobs pollinated by strangers. They bore the anger and strangeness of cross-pollination and the endurance and the rebel yell drawing down new sugar, oxygen of new journeys, sweet of nitrogen drawn to the chemical love, the ovum mothering new nations, and the pollen bringing to wind in summer ambushed, chromosomes, escaping Indians going to the hills like smoke and corn. Hidden as we hide in our corn flesh, shards in wombs, pollen ground in ancient metates, harvest green fingers pointing to new horizons, to be born always new in cries, shouts, enwrapped in shawls of summer, to come out of ambush, tomb, and resurrection, unknown journeys on old paths, in ancient hearts, cut by the knife of sacrifice. Surrender us seasonally in time, salt nitrogen in the blessed fall of autumnal seed. O ancient corn, magnetic fields, claiming the polluted air, the leached soil, the raped earth. O American corn of the Indios, O bread, Oh, summer. Out of the tiny grass, Zia maize was created by the Indians. Hybrid corn now has been made out of that grass, out of that corn, 20% less protein and 5 times the money value and creation of plastic cows. Our lives have been rented in high interest. Our magnetic fields sold like daughters. High interest in international bankers. Leaching and pollution of the soil. Light diminishing in air pollution. Poison dust upon the delicate culms. Manipulated, gunned down, sucked dry. The loving abundance turned into global greed. I speak to you from the shuck. I send messages down the pollen road. From the great vigil of protein, from the wounded corn. Let us all speak from enzyme thunder, the bonding of the kernel. Speak from the horizon of murder and the dead corn creators alive in the pollen wind. The greedy think there is scarcity. Snipers, atomic bomb droppers, divide the seed of love. It is they announce this crisis of energy. The crisis is their robbery, the crisis of predators, condors, fear, and the scarcity of corpses. Hear the councils of the corn around the atomic blast. Hear the hosannas of the communal green. October message we are secure in the seed corn. Guard the democratic corn. Ransom the hostage cob. Seed us in joy and sorrow after alarm of winter hunger. The woman cob arises from sleep, from cadavers, dead ash, below zero, rises in the split chromosomes of sugar and starch, from caches of winter storage, from the glow of Mother Abyss, herbal engendering, speaking Nahuatl and Lakota, we claim and ransom each other with the corn. We will live the winter out, sitting underground in all solstices, in the nuclear seed where the mother endosperm waits for future egress. We will feed you while you mutate beyond the clench of power. We counter all moves to murder and move to grace, redemption of the act of growing. The holy water of conception, we enter each other in the wilderness of no surveyed country where nothing is owed, nothing is lost, nothing is spent. Hosanna. Open the cell cry of Shuck, cry of Om, speak the corn desire, all of no wound, no slavery, no sin, no murder. The fierce root into the abyss, the staunch sugared stalk, and the fiery pollen, and the magnetic cob, and the real arrangement of chromosomes. Let us go to the mating. Turn air into hosannas. O corn of love, O thunder of protein, in the burning blaze, in the autumnal air of sulfuric light, the green corn, the seed corn, turns into hosannas, the green corn, rebellion.
A few years ago, when several groups around the state were looking at the development of a coal gasification plant called Sherco 3, and starting to organize around it, I decided to write a song about water. Thought a lot about how simple and how complicated our whole relationship is to it. Came out with this song, it's called Waters of Life.
I sit before the ocean on the fine white powdered sands with a million stars above me shine across the deep expanse, and I watch with awe and wonder as the waves keep steady beat to the silver moon's strong rhythm. I can feel it in my feet. Water's inky black, rise in waves with crests of white, and I feel it deep within me, this raw force of nature's might. Now there's darker things than midnight that can change the water's hue. Tankers spilling oil, dumping poison waste refuse. Ocean reefs once teemed with life, now barren do they lie. Oh, the death of the wild and tossing sea is the death of you and I. Sweet waters of life, circling round the earth, gentle flowing streams, wild pounding surf, bright drops on morning leaves, deep winding rivers, great waters, ancient life giver. On Minnesota's northern shore, waves echo ocean sighs. Its rugged beauty strikes a chord with the haunting seagull's cry. This land of streams, 10,000 lakes, primordial glacial gift. Belching sulfur smokestacks, forming acid rain so swift. Waters once so sweet, so clear, are threatened by the strife of mossy covered bottoms, almost empty of all life. Two paths we face, a time is now, one surely death will bring. The other is a living road, the first clean breath of spring. Two paths we face, the time is now, we all must make a choice, so our children's children can join in song and sing in one clear voice. Sweet waters of life, circling round the earth, gentle flowing streams, wild pounding surf, bright drops on morning leaves, deep winding rivers, oh great waters, ancient life giver.
I think a lot because of my children, I've felt more concerned and more protective than ever of our land and who controls it and who has power over it. And there's one individual in particular right now who is supposed to be holding all of our lands in trust, who just seems to outrage everybody no matter what he does. Our Secretary of the Interior, James Watt, and earlier this summer he created quite an uproar with banning the Beach Boys from the July 4th celebration in Washington, D.C., including Nancy and Ron Reagan. They were quite upset when he wanted to invite Wayne Newton instead. I thought the whole thing was quite interesting, so I took a little song of Wayne Newton's and wrote some new words to it. It's a song he made well known probably 15, maybe 20 years ago. It's called Dankeschön, means thank you in German. It's about a love affair in New York. His version, not mine. Dankeschön, oh James Watt, Dankeschön. Thank you for all the joy and pain. July 4th, fireworks on the mall. Don't want no Beach Boy bums. Wayne will come, we'll have fun. He's wholesome, oh Dankeschön. Hey Jim, Dankeschön. Save those lies, darling, don't explain. Malibu, hard rock surfing sounds. Though Nancy is a fan, you're a man who cannot stand their solar tans. Oh, Dankeschön, hey Jim, Dankeschön. You stuck your foot into your mouth again. I recall redwoods in the fall, sequoia wilderness. We'll have less, I confess. That's not all, oh Dankeschön, Jimmy Dankeschön. Keep it clean and give us Wayne. Slot machines, Las Vegas king, rolling in the dough, casinos, innuendo of mob control. Oh, Dankeschön, hey Jamie, Dankeschön. Thank you for all the acid rain. More strip mines, slurry coal pipelines, all of nature's joys you destroy, while all the noise is for the Beach Boys. Oh, Dankeschön, auf Wiedersehen, oh, Dankeschön. I put the word out that I'd come to Washington to sing that, but no one ever invited me. So. There we are. In the early 70s, I was working with a theater company called Alive and Trucking. We did a lot of plays about different community organizing struggles. And also did a history play. In 1976, we were going to revise it and do The People Are a River once again for the bicentennial. And I started to write a song then based on an important part of our history in Minnesota. It's the Little Crows Uprising in 1862. Wanted to share that with you. Treaties, broken promises and lives. Day to day is just a struggle to survive. Thousands of years their people loved and shared the land, caring for it and each other, hand in hand. Gun, the bottle of booze. White is right, right is might. These are all deadly tools. Controlled by a few, dreaming of power and wealth. They say for all free white men, but especially themselves. Governor Ramsey, General Sibley too, formerly of the American Fur Company. Dakota nations numbered many, proud and strong, willing to die for freedom, sang a battle song. You promised goods and gold and food for our bands. If you refuse, then we'll take back our stolen lands. Trader Myrick, in reply, says, as far as I'm concerned, let them eat grass, let them eat dung. Let them starve, let them freeze, I'll not give them a crumb. He said, let them eat grass, and months later was found. With his mouth stuffed with grass, he was dead on the ground. Dakota hearts heavy with suffering and lies, women raped and disgraced, children's cries. From perfume pork 300 died in one night. Many said the time has come, again we fight. We stand, we claim our land and our right to live and be free. Choose how we live, how we die, choose our own destiny. Our land and our right to live and be free. Choose how we live, how we die, choose our own destiny. One does not sell the land upon which the people walk.
I'm going to give you just a little history of this because probably you don't know it. History is not really communicated very rapidly. It's only 2 years ago that this happened in South Dakota, that Anna Mae Aquash, who was one of the leaders of AIM, was mysteriously murdered. The FBI had been hunting her, had threatened her, and she disappeared. Finally, they said that she died of exposure, which everyone knew that Anna Mae Aquash would not die of exposure on her own reservation. Finally, it was turned up that a priest and the FBI had buried her, unknown to her people. We had to get a permit from St. Paul to bring, what do you call it, take the body out. And when the body was exhumed, it was seen that she had been shot in the back of the head and that her hands were missing. Her hands had been cut off, which later the FBI said they had sent her hands in a mason jar to Washington, D.C. to identify her, which was ridiculous because they knew who she was. And so, this is a saga in our own time of Anna Mae Aquash and the movement of a colonial people in our country. Left in the field where they said she died of exposure. secretly buried, and her two hands cut off and sent in mason jars to the FBI in Washington, D.C. Listen to the moon crying to us all. Death of anime in the flesh. Listen to the crying moon. Friends, awake, arouse. The assassin is behind you too. The gun is at your head. Our hands to be cut off. Hands are the sign of the human, of holding, touch, gathering. They cut off the hands of the black slaves. I saw a string of hands hanging in Mazatlan. I saw a bloody hand hanging from the shears. The living hands of work. Mother, hold out your hand.
Mother, mother, hold out your hands. Mother, mother, help me.
Mother,
mother, hold out your hands. Mother, mother, help me.
They are digging for coal. Blasting for uranium, gutting our pastures. Mother, mother, help me. Hold out your hands.
Mother, help me. Hold out your hands, mother.
Awake. Arouse. Do not be silent. Cry out. Use your trembling hands. Enemies hunt us like deer. They are killing the seed, mother. We cry and mourn, mother. Mother, hold out your hands.
Hold out your hands. Mother, mother. Mother, mother, help me. Mother.
Rouse, stop the dismembering. Save the corn
rouse,
and the child. Cry love
child.
In the mouths of perishing millions.
Cry love.
Touch with the fire the hands of solidarity.
Touch fire.
Be alive.
Be alive.
And be together. And touch our hands.
Let us rise.
Let us rise from the cry and the wound and be home in our mutual flesh.
Listen to the crying.
Listen to the wound crying to us.
Listen
all.
To the crying.
Listen to the wound crying to us all.
Listen to the crying.
Listen to the true death of anime crying.
The crying.
Listen to the cry.
Listen to the crying.
Arouse! Awake!